Let's look in our Bibles today at the book of Romans, chapter 12. I want to talk to you about a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Because of the multitude of a once-for-all sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices became obsolete and are no longer in any effect. And we know that all animal sacrifices were fulfilled in Christ, the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, keep in Romans 12. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come with greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, Jesus. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Praise God. I want to tell you, Jesus fulfilled all Old Testament types and figures. He was the fulfillment of everything. And he was offered up on the cross, the last altar that a sacrifice could be offered. But now we as believers offer up sacrifices of praise to him. Amen. And so that's what we want to do. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant, anoint your people. Talk to us, Lord, as only you can do. And we ask your will to be done, God, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. A living sacrifice. I just read earlier this morning where that a young woman in the Gaza Strip, which is predominantly Muslim populated. And I read her story how that Hamas came and eventually murdered her husband. And they had opened up a bookstore that sold Christian literature in that town that they lived in. But after a while, after the threats became stronger and stronger, and they finally took him one day when he was getting off work and locking up and took him out. He was shot and stabbed to death and murdered. And it took her months to get forgiveness in her heart for what had been done. But she knew as she read scripture that she must forgive the man that murdered her husband. She had two kids at the time and one on the way. So it was very difficult for her to see why that her husband had to be taken from her. But as she persevered and went on, she finally was able to forgive that man after she realized what all God had forgiven her of. And she would be a living sacrifice, a living testimony of what God can do in a person's life. Thank God for that. And here scripture gets very down to home, very personal. And he says, you know, I urge you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So let's look at a living sacrifice first. In the Old Testament, I've already mentioned the entire body of the animal was sacrificed and consumed by fire. And as I read through the Old Testament, especially the book of Leviticus, my friend, if you and I had lived in that time, I'm not trying to make you put you down in any way, but I'll tell you, they'd be having to die all the time for my sins and my mishaps and think that I did, because every time blood had to be shed in order that there would be atonement for your sins. And so we know that Jesus finally fulfilled that. He's one sacrifice offered once for all, and that sacrifice can take away our sins. We can boldly approach the throne of grace and say, God, have mercy upon me. I'm sorry for the wrong that I said, what I said or what I did or what I thought that wasn't pleasing to you, and we can have immediate forgiveness. God's so good to us, isn't he? And so we become a living sacrifice. And Christ once died for our sins. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering, not many, that would appear yearly and year after year and time after time, but for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's you and I. And you say, well, if I'm perfect forever, that's about all that can be done. Well, he's perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And you're living for God. You're walking with God. You're living for God. You're serving God. Yes, the offering he had on the cross makes you clean, makes you pure, makes you holy, heaven acceptable. My friend, aren't you glad that you've been made whole heaven acceptable? Praise the Lord. And by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, God sees you through the blood of his Son. And he says, come on in, enter into the presence of Almighty God. You're clean. Praise the Lord. One offering, something died in the place of the repentant sinner. Blood had to be shed because sin called for the death penalty. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Good news, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission of sins, no forgiveness. If Jesus hadn't have done what he did on the cross, not one sin that you and I have ever committed would be forgiven. We could not earn enough, do enough. We could not give three lifetimes of wages that would atone for one sin. But Jesus paid it all. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, Christ, was wounded not for his, but for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. And with his stripes we were healed. You say, well, that applies to some people, but not me. Oh, yes, it does. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to the own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. I want to tell you, he bore a heavy load on the cross. He bore all the guilt and the shame that ever sin that you and I ever committed. I want to tell you, friend, he stopped nothing short of taking the sins of the whole world upon himself. And he bore it on dark Calvary, and he paid the price that had to be paid so that we could have eternal life. We're a blessed people today, friend. We're on our way to heaven instead of hell. We're on our way to eternal life instead of eternal separation from God. We're on our love to eternal love, joy, and peace, and hope forever. My friend, God has given that to us. Don't tell me I don't have time to pray. Don't tell me you don't have time to read his word. Don't tell me you don't have time to serve God. My friend, we better make time for God. Hallelujah, he made time for us. Praise the Lord. So Christ died. But today we are living sacrifices. And he says, present your body a living sacrifice. We hear a lot about bodies today. A lot, this, that, and the other is supposed to make you look younger. And we know they're lying, but they still advertise it to us. But the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, God, if I look in the mirror, I say, Lord, how in the world could you live in something like this? But he does. Yeah, I said me. But, you know, we're looking at each other too. Amen. I believe that God has a sense of humor. He has to when he looks at some of us. Me. Amen. I remember an old story by Minnie Pearl, bless her heart. She was always good at telling romantic jokes. She was at a party somewhere, and she said, I saw two nice-looking men standing against the wall over there. Said, I looked at them and smiled. Said, they looked at me and laughed out loud. But yet God can look at us and still love us and still care and be concerned about the starving child in a third world country and about those who have more money than they know what to do with and love us all the same, and God cares. I'm thankful he's a faithful God, and he was a sacrifice that was offered for you and I of all peoples, races, all times. But 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. It doesn't say those words exactly. It says this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. When you give your heart to Jesus, you don't belong to self anymore. You belong to God. You say, well, is there any alternative? Yeah. If you don't give your heart and your life to God, you belong to the devil. You don't want to go there. You want to belong to Him. He's out for your own good. He cares. He loves. He protects. He keeps. He walks you through this life and cares for you, loves you every step of the way. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price. We know that. We were purchased with the blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Which belong to God. So we're to glorify God in our body. You say, well, that's getting pretty close to home. Yeah, it is. I'm talking through one right now. But we're to honor God in our bodies, in our speech, in our activity, in our righteous behavior. Because you see, the old nature, sinful nature that was in us that God saved us from, still has to be fought. And Paul the Apostle, I don't understand, you know, it's hard for me to see him as he was before he was saved. It's not hard, it's written in Scripture. But he was a persecutor of the church, and when people were put to death for their faith in Christ, he cast his vote against them. But yet, on the Damascus Road one day, he had an encounter with God. He was headed to Damascus to persecute Christians there. But as he was on the way, he was stricken down. A bright light shone around about him. And he knew that something was happening. He said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Audible voice. Can you imagine that? And so we know that from that point on, he entered Damascus. He didn't enter Damascus to start killing Christians. He entered Damascus and began to preaching the gospel of the Word of God. And he never quit from there until the day that he died. Amen. He gave it all. He did everything he could do to spread the gospel of Christ. And he said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not for me only, but all those who look for his appearing. So we know that Paul became a living sacrifice. And he said, I was the chiefest of sinners. I don't think Paul ever, you read his writings, ever got over it, the fact that he once persecuted what he now stood for. It takes God to get past and to get over things. And there may be things in your past that you think, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe I said this, or I can't believe I stood for this or that. But I want to tell you, we have a God that loves and cares and forgives. No, he didn't approve of everything that we did. And it's true that God loves everybody, but God doesn't love everything about everybody. He came to set us free from things that are not pleasing to him and that will hinder your walk with God and will take peace out of your mind and will take hope and love out of your heart. And God came to replace those with peace, hope, and love that he gives. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are to honor God in our bodies, in our speech, in our mouth. That'll preach. Honor God in righteous behavior. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. After the life he lived, he says, I put to death my old life. I am crucified with Christ till it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul realized he'd grown up under the law. He had to live perfect obedience to the law to be accepted by God, and realized he couldn't, and nobody could. But he said, all of that was for nothing when I came into the righteousness that Christ provided when he rose from the dead and gave me eternal life. Romans 6:6 and says, knowing that our old man, that means a sinful, the part of you that used to pursue sin, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. I'm glad God can do that to a person. He could save the Apostle Paul, somebody like him. But God could save somebody like me and you. And He did. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm glad that with the blood of Jesus, when our sins are forgiven, our sins are never to be remembered against us anymore. People think remember things about you. They drag up things you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago. And we drag things up. But God forgives immediately and doesn't bring things up again. Amen. He forgives our iniquities. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, not automatically, but if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Not only was Christ a living sacrifice, but second of all, He was a loving sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice for us was a loving sacrifice. Apart from God's love, we have no forgiveness, no life, nothing eternal with God. And I want to tell you something, friend. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to that cross. It was love for you and I. Amen. Let me make this personal. I'm tempted to call out one of your names, but I'm going to call mine instead. Does that make you feel better? But God looks down through time and says, you know old Ken down there, he's not really worth much. He may have been raised in a good family and all that, but yet he's got sin in his life, so he ain't worth much. I don't think he's worth killing, so we'll just not even mess with him. He can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can put your name there, and I won't. I'll be gracious to you, not put your name there. But nails didn't hold him to that cross. Love for Ken held him to that cross. Love for you, Bill, Joe, James, Jack, whatever your name is. Love for you and your soul held him to that cross. Amen. Even Jesus prayed for the people that drove the spikes and his wrist, his hands, to hold him to the cross, to make him suffer as long as possible before death shut in. That's what crucifixion did. And Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them, for I am shedding my blood right now on this cross for them. They can be saved too if they will call out to God for mercy and forgiveness. And when they nailed Jesus to the cross, they nailed the only hope there was to that cross. Without love from God, those soldiers that nailed him to the cross, death and hell awaited them. They would never, never be free. They would suffer and they would see the Christ they nailed to the cross throughout eternity and granted no mercy, no love for the Christ that died for them. I'm confident that some of them turned to Christ and were saved because they could be saved. Amen. But love is demonstrated by Christ. Jesus didn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated His own love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. When we were the enemies of God, and people that are sinners and have not rejected Christ, they're the enemies of God. God doesn't want us to be enemies. God wants us to be sons and daughters of God. He made a way that could happen. Love, He demonstrated His own love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad that He demonstrated His love. On occasion, I go to YouTube, and sometimes it becomes MeTube. But I see pictures there of animals that, a deer that's hung by its feet in a fence and can't get loose, or a dog, or a wolf that's foot is caught in a steel trap and can't be free, or I've seen bobcats. I wouldn't want to mess with one of them. And so they have a way of putting a piece of plywood in front of them and just enough room to get to the foot and to get the trap loose from the animal. And I'm seeing that they do things to set this animal free, cut wires, or disable the trap that lets the animal go free. And usually when the animal's free, they just get up and run off. And so that's demonstrated love for an animal. But you know, we were held and trapped by sin and could never be free unless somebody stronger came to set us free. Because you see, sin has a very strong grip. Amen. I'm told that the bald eagle, every eagle, I guess, that the strength in their talons is 6 times the strength of a human hand. That's strong. They can pick up small monkeys and carry them away. They can pick up anything that they want to pick up and carry it away. That's strong. But sin has a stronger grip than that upon the human heart. And it takes someone stronger to set that person free from sin. It takes somebody stronger to lift the guilt and the shame. It takes somebody stronger to make you not feel sorry for yourself. It takes someone stronger to forgive you and to keep you and to forgive you the guilt and the shame of something you did 10 years ago and you wished you hadn't have done. You see all the people it affected and what it did, but yet God forgave you immediately and God cares and God broke the grip and He declares you justified, which means declared not guilty. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How we want to see people saved, released from the awful grip of sin, and they can be released. People can be saved, probably are being saved today while we speak. And the thing that had such a stranglehold on them that they could not let go of, when they go to the cross and say, Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner, that the grip of sin is broken and they're free and their name is written in heaven and they belong to Christ. That's wonderful. They may have been condemned and feel condemned and were condemned in sin. But let's see what God has to say about being condemned. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law, Old Testament law, for the law could not do and that it was weak to the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and on sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. My friend, you are not condemned if you know Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, I'm glad I'm not condemned. Amen. If we don't live for God, we are condemned. Amen. If we live for God, we're not condemned. We're not guilty. We won't be found guilty. We'll be accepted in the presence of Almighty God. My friend, I want to be accepted, don't you? People here may not accept you. If you're a Christian, even if you stand for the faith, they might accept you. I've been rejected a few times, more than a few, because I'm a Christian, because I stood up and said something about Christ. But I want to tell you something, friend. God is not running you down. He's not putting you down because you live the Christian life. Amen. He's saying, go on, get after it. Live for me. I've got better things, greater things ahead. I've got things you can't even imagine in store for you in my eternity. So we need to love God. God was a loving sacrifice. Not only was He a living sacrifice, a loving sacrifice, but He was an enduring sacrifice. It says here in Scripture, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not conformed to this world is not talking about, it's talking about just not being conformed or accepting or being a part of the sinful nature that corrupts the world. We hear of fighting and lying and killing and stealing and killing cops and all this kind of stuff. We hear it throughout our society. It's awful. The Bible says you don't stand with people that condemn what I accept. Not conform to this world. Just let me say this. Law enforcement is of God. As a matter of fact, it says in the book of Romans chapter 13 that they're the ministers of God. It doesn't mean that there's a stand in a pulpit and preach, but they give society peace in the sense that they will protect you. Amen. You say, well, I know some that didn't do a very good job. Well, there's probably a few things you didn't do a very good job about, but God is there. And God puts that enforcement. Amen. So pray for leaders. Pray for the police. Pray for the sheriff. Pray for the deputy sheriff. Pray for law enforcement. Amen. Don't condemn them. Don't run them down. If you kill them, you don't have anybody to protect you. But God put them there for that purpose, to keep us from society just being an all-out war against one another. Amen. I don't know if there's any law enforcement. Brother Sam was DPS, retired DPS. God bless you, sir. And so he was an enduring sacrifice, not conformed to this world, not accepting life's immoral behavior. And we have today in our society the moral code of a barnyard. But we are not to be shaped and molded by sinful designs. In the book of Jeremiah, God uses this illustration as a potter shapes a vessel. And he says he can shape the vessel either to be accepted and useful, or he can shape the vessel to be something that was dishonorable or not of any use to anything. And you may have thought of people, they're not any use for anything. Amen. I had somebody tell me one time I was a lost cause. Oh, did I ever want to come back on that one? I won't tell you what I'm thinking. But potters, God uses us and God shapes us and forms us. And as we grow in Christ, He shapes us in His will, His purpose, His plan, so we can be a testimony for Him. God did this. If we were open up testimony service right now, you could testify of awful things that God set you free and delivered you of. Wish you had things you wish you had never done in your past, but you did, and God was faithful and just to forgive you and to put you in His kingdom and to put you on your way to heaven instead of hell. Thank God for what He did. And so, transformed here from an ancient Greek word which means metamorpho. So if you can speak Greek better than I can, you probably did better than I did. But it's describing what we call metamorphosis. The same word is used to describe Jesus in His transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration. How that Jesus, for a moment, His deity became shining through. Peter, James, and John were there with Him, Mount of Transfiguration. And all of a sudden, His clothes became white and shining. And there, for a moment's time, they saw a picture of a glorified Christ. My friend, He's glorified today. He'll ever will be glorified. Praise the Lord. And so, and for a moment's time, they saw the deity of Christ there, that He was Son of God, yes, Son of man, but He was glorified for a moment as the eternal Christ. And so, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we need to renew our minds, because the devil surely works on your mind. And our minds need to be renewed. Taken from sinful meditation. Let me ask you something. What do you think about most of the time? Amen. And I'm not expecting a vocal response. But you know, there's things that we meditate on that we should just let it go out the window and not ever think about it. Just, it doesn't do any good to meditate on it or worry about it. It didn't change it. But we need to let our minds meditate upon the goodness of God. And part of your victory as a Christian is spend some time in your day thanking God for the great things He's done for you. My friend, if we begin to count our blessings, you'd run out of pages if you had to write them down. We're a blessed people. We have food to eat, clothes to wear, had a shelter. More than that, we have eternal life and eternal things prepared for us on the other side. Psalms 19 and 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. That's instruction for us. Praise the Lord. You'll have a lot more peace. You'll have a better life if you'll concentrate and meditate upon how good God is and how great He's been to you and upon what He's provided for you. Last of all, it's 1 minute to 12. I think I can do this in a minute. If I fail, just give me another minute. Last of all, He's an eternal sacrifice, a sacrifice that will be eternally secure. People have asked me, do you believe in eternal security? I believe you're eternally secure as long as you walk with God. Yes. I don't believe you can be saved when you were 10 and when you're 40 you're living for the devil and don't think about God, you'll still go to heaven. No. Living for the devil is not security at all. Living for God is. The one who gives his or her life to Christ will be eternally separated from anything that can threaten or destroy. That's where I want to be. This sacrifice was an eternal sacrifice. Jesus was sacrificed so that you could have eternal life. Not life for a while, not life till things got better, but eternally. God has eternal plans for you. And this will involve eternal worship with our God. I want to read you one last scripture here in the book of Revelation. Amen. The 5th chapter. Chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation speak of the throne room of God right after the rapture of the church. In Revelation 5 and 8 it says, "And they," who's they? That's us and all of heaven. "They sang a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood.'" Out of just Americans? No, it says out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. "And have made us kings and priests," or a kingdom of priests, "to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." My friend, here you're training for reigning. God's going to have you to reign with Him. And let's notice heaven here. What goes on in heaven? "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." I want to tell you, heaven's going to be full. "Saying with a loud voice," that will include you and I, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever.'" My friend, that's an eternal sacrifice. Forever and ever. We cannot explain forever. Forever is just an endless beginnings, a forever of beginnings. No end, ever. My friend, we've got a wonderful thing to look forward to, being with Christ forever. So live now as a living sacrifice. God saved you. We've got a sacrifice. We've got a testimony to tell that God has given us eternal life. Thankful for Jesus who was a living sacrifice, died as a sacrifice for our sins, but rose again from the dead. And we are still a living sacrifice. The Bible says to offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, to continually give praise to Him. Amen.